So let us bring up the first storyteller. Abe Burekson is a writer, teacher, architect, and the artistic director of Odyssey Works, which is an experimental performance group that creates weekend-long performances for one-person audiences. And for me, no, it's true. And for me, Abe, the fact that Abe is going to come tell a story embodies so much of what I love about this stoop, which is I read about him in the New York Times. I bought his book. He was passing through Baltimore. He delivered the book to my Calvert Street row house. I never got the book. I emailed him. He sent me the PDF of the book. We ended up having a meeting for coffee the next time he was in town. Then he moved to town. And now he's telling a story at the stoop.
It sounds like he's your stalker.
No, he's my spiritual stalker, but in a good way. Actually, I really stalked him. And so please welcome Abe Burekson.
You never got the book, did you?
I got the PDF.
I'll give you the real book. Thanks. Hi, Senator. About 15 years ago, I moved to San Francisco to make a new life for myself as an artist. And when I got there, I met this guy named Matt. And if there's an artistic collaborator equivalent of falling in love on the first date, that's what happened to us. We thought together. We had the same ideas, the same concerns. We were both at that uniquely American transition between being a kind of a child and trying to make something of your life, trying to make something new. And so we did what everybody in San Francisco did at the time when you had some artistic fantasy. We started an artist collective and we threw art parties. And they were fun and we talked a lot. And we kept coming back to this idea of this problem of the ideal audience. In other words, I would write a poem. I was writing a lot of poems back then and send it out to a journal and maybe it would get published and a bunch of people would read it and then only one person would really understand it the way I had meant it to be understood. And this was the problem of the ideal audience. And we had this thing that artists say, which is, if I could change just one life, wouldn't it be worth it? And we thought, yes, it would. And so we talked about, could we make art for just one person? And we talked a lot. We didn't do anything. We just talked about it and threw more parties. And he was, you know, he was really on this trip about starting something new, about death and rebirth. He kept talking about it. And I got it. Like, I was there, too. I didn't formulate it that way. And then one day he called me up and he said, you know, it's my birthday coming up. And I said, great, I'll throw you a party. He said, oh, come on, man, it's my birthday. Birth. This could be something new. This could be the start of something. Don't you understand? And I said, I guess. He said, do something different, something a little more interesting. I said, what? He said, you figure it out. I was like, okay. He'd kind of thrown down the gauntlet. So I called up our friend Shoshana, and we went for a walk, and we talked about it. What could we do? And she said, well, what's he into? I said, he's into this thing about death and rebirth. And she said, well, what can we do with that? I said, I don't know, I guess we'll just have to kill him. So a few weeks later, on the morning of his birthday, some members of our team went over to his house, woke him up, blindfolded him, kidnapped him, and dragged him from San Francisco to Colma, the city of graveyards, where he met me. And we went for a walk, and we had a conversation, one of our ordinary conversations, the ones that were so exciting to us, only every time it was about to lead into flow, into some great new idea, I shut it down. Every time he had an opening of a possibility, I said, no, I don't think that will happen. And it was hard, but it was necessary, because I wanted him to have this experience of, what is it when something great dies? Because that's what he was into. And just as it got really depressing, we got to the road, and a car pulled up, and I opened the back door, shoved him in, slammed it, and they drove off. And he went back to San Francisco. His friends were driving. They pretended he was a ghost. It was fun. It was funny. And they dropped him off at our friend Ryan's house. Now, poor Ryan had been in a horrible motorcycle accident, nearly died, plenty of surgeries, and, you know, he was game to play along with this. He was, when Matthew got in there, They closed the door behind him, and he found Ryan sitting there in his wheelchair, smoking, drugged out on painkillers, the TV on, the lights out, and for Matthew, this was like the affective absolute of being dead to your life, and it was hard for him, and I knew it would be, and we left him there for 45 minutes so he could experience that death in life, and I showed up, and I looked in, and he seemed to be experiencing going through something, so I left and gave him a few more minutes, and then I went in, and I took him out, and he had this look. Things were going well, and I blindfolded him, and I threw him in the back of a van, and we drove towards the western edge of the city, and I stopped once, and all his friends got in, and there was a bed in the back of the van. I was in my 20s. It was San Francisco, and they kept him warm, and he was in the bosom of his friend circle, and it felt like life to him, and just when that was really good, I stopped, and everybody got out, and closed it and kept driving, and I rolled down the window, and as you go west in San Francisco, it gets cold, and he was shivering and lonely and blind. And then we arrived at China Beach, and I got him out of the van, and I took off his blindfold, and I said to him, are you ready? And he said, yeah, I am. And it was a moment. And so then I took him down the steps to the beach. China Beach is this kind of abandoned beach in San Francisco. It's really cool, great history. And when we got down there, there were two wrestlers waiting there with shovels, and one handed him a shovel and said, dig. And so he started to dig. And even though the day before we had practiced this and we knew how long it would take to dig a 6-foot-deep man-shaped hole, it was still amazing that it took so long. And when he was done, he climbed out and handed the wrestler the shovel, and then the wrestler said, get in. And he got in, and we gave him a breathing tube and buried him alive. Now, we had tried this out the day before, so we knew it took a while to get out, but it was really a nail-biter waiting for him to make his way out of there. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, and then a finger, and then a hand, and then the top of his head, and then we had our full Night of the Living Dead moment, and when he finally came out, covered in sand and wiped it away from his eyes, and he turned to me, and I said, are you all right? And he didn't say anything at all. He had this kind of crazy, ecstatic look in his eye, and he started brushing the sand off of his clothes, and then he started taking off his clothes, and then he was naked, and then he'd run off and jumped into the ocean. And if you know San Francisco in November and the ocean there, you know it's really, really cold. And I thought something right happened here. Later that night, after he'd showered and changed and we had a chance to talk, I said, so how was it? He said, it was everything I'd hoped. I said, I think we're really on to something. And that thing that was, it was just a whim, just an experiment, kept going. A few months later, he did one for me, and then we did one for Shoshana, and 13 years later, I'm still doing these things. They're all different. We call it Odyssey Works now, and some of them last days or months even. And we've worked with hundreds of artists over the years now, and many of them have come to us with the same questions that we had back then. Questions about whether it's possible to make art in a way that's meaningful, art that creates a connection between you and the person you're making it for, you and your audience. And every time we do a new one of these, we encounter these questions in a new way. And every time we do that, we find that the answers are totally different. And I guess that's why I'm still doing them. Thank you.